And we know that your job is difficult, extremely difficult at times. I've talked to moms with a house full of kids that their only sanctuary, their only retreat is to go into the bathroom and close the door. And they think, if I can just have 5 minutes, that's all I ask, 5 minutes. But even that is hard to come by. And outside the door, there's a lineup of kids, and there's kids slipping notes under the door and asking questions. And the mom is just wanting a couple moments of peace. So we know it's difficult at times, Mom, but you carry it out so very well. And the other thing, moms, we know that you're flawed. We know that you struggle. We know that you make mistakes, like all of us. But even in the midst of that, your love amazes us as it flows from your heart. I love that little book. I'll love you forever. I'll like you always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. There's nothing quite like a mother's love. And it's really no surprise, right? Because where does that love come from? It comes from the Father's love, and it flows from Him. And it's no surprise either that God pictures Himself in different ways like a mother. And He even talks about His comfort that He provides is like that of a mother. Isaiah 66:13 says, "As one whom his mother comforts," God says, "so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Isaiah 46, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age. I am He, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, and even I will carry, and I will deliver you." So we serve a God. I think it's just beautiful that the way He portrays Himself. You know, but so much of God's goodness and grace and righteousness and love has been kind of clouded or even covered up by our culture. And we see that, you know, with all the gender twisting and gender deception, even in the midst of all that, you know, when you really step back and look, the value, the blessing of a mother and a father is just undeniable. A husband and a wife, they are unique, they are different, yet they come together and complement one another so beautifully and complement and bless the family. And we see that over and over again in so many ways. God's design is perfect. And so why we want to tamper with that, I don't know. And certainly, Mom, you are part of God's wonderful, beautiful design. At the same time as we recognize that, we have to recognize that the enemy is working to deceive and confuse our society and trying to, like I said, erase this divine design. The Bible clearly states that men and women were created different, but it paints this amazing picture, this wonderful, beautiful union between these two unique individuals. And then you can't help, you know, when you read Ephesians 5 and this picture of marriage, beneath that is this even more beautiful, more mysterious picture that God has between Him, portraying Him and the church. And it's as you get a hold of all of that, it's a wonderful thing. Yet our culture continues to, in a lot of ways, be upside down. Children try and act like adults, and we look around, there's a lot of adults acting like children. Free speech may get you some free room and board in jail today. Life is denied and death is affirmed. Honest men are smeared while thugs are celebrated. God is denied. Mother Earth is worshipped. And motherhood is often, in a lot of ways, despised or looked down or certainly not valued. Yet motherhood is truly a grand and glorious calling. And it is God's plan for motherhood. It's the same plan, really, for everything that He has created, to bring glory to His name. And mothers have been positioned so beautifully to do exactly just that. So motherhood is about creating and cultivating and nurturing, and we see that so much in our mothers. And all of that, of course, is for God's glory. And so he has designed and equipped mothers in a very, very special way to heed his call, to do his bidding for his glory, and their influence and their love blesses us and blesses us generationally, as we saw today. I want to introduce you to two beautiful women. I think they're going to come up on the screen here. The woman on the lower left, dressed in black, her name is Emma. Her maiden name was Lawson, Emma Lawson. And she is my mom, and then over a couple is her mother, Ollie Lawson. All of those five boys standing in the back, her brothers, all became pastors. And I just want to tell you that Ollie and my mom, Emma, their love, it flowed from them freely and beautifully into their hands and their hearts, and God used them in some wonderful ways. And so I just want to take a moment and praise God for them. Here's a poem. It says, "A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret, the mysterious of all creation. Many splendid miracle that man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand." Put well, I think that's Steiner Rice that wrote that. To give you a couple more verses where God describes himself as in the aspects of a mother. I read a couple early on, and here's a couple more. It's just intriguing to me. This is Matthew 23:37. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your young children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Isaiah 49:15, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Hosea 13:8, "I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their ribcage and I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them." Isaiah 42:14, "I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and grasp at once." This is God talking. Deuteronomy 32:11, "As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovering over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him." The beauty of a mother's love, where exactly does it come from? And we're all amazed by it. How does she do it? How can she be so patient, so giving? How can she do all the things that she does? And for many of us men, if we're honest, we look at her and we say, there's no way. There's no way. I suppose if I had to do it, with God's help, I could do it, but it would be extremely hard. How does she do it? How does she love like that? Well, it's from the Father above. It's His love flowing through here. It's God's love. God's love. I love this old hymn. It says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That is where this comes from. The love of God abounds, of course. We know that, and that's where it flows through our mothers. We're so appreciative of them. Romans 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." And look at that verse closely. There's some things we ought to pay attention to regarding God's love. One is that it's poured out freely, it says. There's a free flow. And you look at the meaning behind some of those words. It's a flooding. It's a deep overwhelming of God's love that's given to us by the Spirit. The verb is in a perfect tense, so it's ongoingly filled, living in a strong, abiding sense of God's love. That's what He desires for us to have, and we get that by the regular ministry of God's Spirit. There's another passage that's similar to this one. This is Ephesians 3. I'll start with verse 14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man." And then verse 17, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." So it's the same sense here. And the key seems to be this being rooted and grounded in the love of God, to know the love of Christ and then to be filled with the fullness of God. And when you are filled with the fullness of God and you are embracing and understanding the depth of His love for you, it empowers you. It inspires you to live a life that is pleasing in His sight. It encourages you to love others as well. Of course, there's another part of God's love that we often don't like to talk about, but it is also a key thing to recognize, and that's the loving discipline of the Lord. This is Hebrews 12, verse 6. "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens," right, "and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which we all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." And then verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, but He, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful," right? "Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And so this is the real key to God's love, is His discipline, because it trains us, it corrects us, it forms us, it shapes us. It brings us to a place of recognition and repentance of who we are. And so if mom says to you, "Sweetie, I have to correct you, I have to spank you because I love you," you know, it's the same thing, isn't it? This all flows from the heart of God. If you were to step back a little bit and just look at God's love, there are at least five kind of basic general aspects that we see about God's love in the Scripture. I'm just going to mention these, kind of a side note quickly. We see the love of God, the love of the Father for the Son, and the love of the Son for the Father. John 3:35 says, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand." John 14:31, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise and let us go from here." So we see that beautiful love pictured in different places, quite a few different verses, the love for the Father towards the Son and the Son towards the Father. Then we see kind of a providential love that God has for all of his creation. I didn't list a verse here, but we see that in a lot of different ways. God's love taking care of even the sparrows and all of his creation. Third, we see God's salvific love towards the fallen world. And lots of texts that shout this out. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 2:2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The fourth area is God's kind of particular and selecting love toward his elect. And I'll read just a couple verses. This is Deuteronomy 7:7. It says, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh the king. And then something, a verse like Ephesians 5 would echo this idea. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So we see this, in a sense, his love selecting the elect, a certain group of people. And then the last one is just as, and you may want to argue with me about this later, and I'm open to that, but there's a sense that there's a lot of verses that would support this, I think, but there's God's provisional love for his own people. Jude 1:21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and to eternal life. John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you also will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So we see some these kind of general aspects of the love of God. Now we could delve and penetrate down in, and there's, you know, just immeasurable examples of how those areas of love are played out in our lives. We won't do that today. The love of the Father, though, as we've been saying, flows through our mothers. We are so thankful for that. And here are some just basic ways that the love of a mother is expressed. And these are some examples. I don't think all of these women are necessarily mothers that we'll look at, but certainly they're good examples, not only for mothers today, but for all of us. The first one is out of Proverbs 31:30, and it's about a godly woman who fears the Lord. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A woman that does not focus on outward beauty or focusing on pleasing or appealing to other people, but she's focusing on God first and primary. And what does that have to do with love? It has everything to do with love, because as I surrender and submit to God, then those around me, they see that. And in a sense, I am loving them by my example, if you will. She speaks and behaves wisely and kindly. Proverbs 31 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And so we see this wisdom, this kindness, this care that a mother has, and in that, in the middle of that, all around that is her love. This is Titus 2, and it talks about she helps to guide and mentor young women. A woman that is not just looking at her own household, or even the body of Christ that she attends, but she has a love and a care for all people, and she's willing to reach out and mentor and support and help and provide counsel and so forth. It's so beautiful, such a beautiful picture of love. She submits to her husband in Christian marriage. rather than seeking to have dominance over him, she submits to him as he follows Christ. And in that, she's loving him and loving her family. She does not behave foolishly and protects her household. This is Proverbs 14:1. It says, "The wisest of women build her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down." And I think a woman who is, you know, loves her family and she's investing in them, she understands that also how easy it would be to tear all that down, to tear a marriage down, to tear her family down. And so I think she's ever vigilant to ensure that she is walking in the Spirit and living according to God's principle and word, according to His character, and so that she brings blessing into her family and protects her household. We kind of mentioned this earlier, but she keeps an inner beauty. 1 Peter 3:4, let the adorning be the hidden person of the heart rather than a gentle and quiet spirit and so forth, rather than the outside. So that's where her attention is primarily, is what's going on in my heart? What are my motives? And in that, she is expressing love for all those around her. In 1 Timothy 3:11, it says, "Wives must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things." And so she's careful to keep from gossiping. She's careful to keep from speaking ill of others. And in that, she's expressing love, isn't she? Proverbs 31, of course, lists this super mom, superwoman, right? And she's working hard. We see that picture. She's taking care of her home and her family. And what motivates a woman like that to get up early, to stay up late, to clean up some of those messes that only children can make? It's this love that she has, this great love that she has. And she recognizes that God is for her and for others. And in Judges 4:14, this woman is telling the others, you know, God is for us. We can do this. And I think that's the heart of a woman who really loves those around her. She's encouraging them not to give up. She's trying to inspire them. God is for us. He'll see us through. He'll take us to the other side. She is faithful to support other believers. And Ruth is a beautiful picture of that in the Bible, Ruth chapter 1. But we see mothers that are out of love are so supportive and so faithful to other believers. They are the type of mother that can be counted on, that can be turned to, that will listen, will provide good counsel and so forth. She has faith that Jesus can do anything. You know, you even think of this. Remember the woman who said, "If I can just touch his garment," in a sense, I think that kind of a mother, that kind of a woman, she knows that if we can press in to Jesus Christ, if we can allow his power to be upon us, that he can do great things. And she has great faith, this type of woman. This is Luke 1:38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I've always loved Mary's affirmation, her words of commitment there. And a mother is available and willing to be used of God. "Here am I, Lord. Send me." She's a loving, willing heart. She remains dedicated to the things of God. She helps to care for those who spread the gospel. Lots of examples of that, especially in the New Testament. Women who were so supportive to the ministry that were going on, helping in so many different ways. She lives out of her faith for Jesus Christ. She relies on God even in the hard times. This is a woman of love, a woman of commitment. She is open to God's plans. Thinking of Lydia in Acts 16, where she really didn't know these men, but she just opened up her home and was willing to support them and help them and help fund them even. In Acts 18, she helps guide others to become effective witnesses for Christ. And 2 Timothy 1, she passes her faith throughout her family and community. And we talked a little bit about this, just the legacy of a mother, the legacy of her love, the legacy of her faith. And we see this in different ways. And certainly Lois and Eunice are examples of that with Timothy. Just a couple more and we'll wrap this up. She tells others what Jesus has done for her. I love John 4:39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. She was out telling people, you gotta hear about this man, this Christ, this Messiah. And that's what we see in the heart of a woman who's in love with Messiah, who's following him, and she begins to testify and tell others and spread the good news. And the last one we've kind of hit on a little bit, this Proverbs 31:20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She gives generously to those in need. And so if you're a woman, you're thinking, oh, great, another sermon about being perfect. Thanks for the encouragement, Pastor Brian. Again, we are all striving to be transformed, are we not? All of us here, and we're striving to be perfected in Christ and to allow God to mold us and shape us into his image. So we're all flawed, we're all striving, and we're all coming together. And so, but we are here today to encourage you and to thank you, Mom, and to ultimately to thank God for what he's done in and through you. So thank you, Mom. We love you. And we ask that you would never give up. Keep pressing on. Loving your kids. Loving the prodigals. Keep praying. Keep allowing Christ to shine through you. We appreciate you. I'll love you forever, the book says. I'll like you always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The love of a mother. Mom, we are amazed. So amazed by your love. And we're so amazed, so much more amazed by the love of our God and how he works through you. We appreciate that. We love you, Mom. We're thankful for you. Thankful that you're allowing God to use you in so many different ways. And if you're a mom here today and maybe you're just, you know, you're worn out, I understand. Frustrated with all the demands that are placed upon you. I understand. And I want to encourage you to lay hold of the hem of the garment of Christ and allow him to encourage you and to raise you up and to lift your head. We notice you. We know what you're doing. And so much you do, we don't know. I must confess that. But we are so very, very thankful for it. Thankful for the love of our God. And I want to close with just a prayer of thanksgiving for the moms, but also that we would be challenged by the pictures we see, the depth of God's love. And as we think about our moms, and I don't know what comes to mind when you think about your mom, but I've watched my mom work so hard and be so patient and do so many things for our family growing up. And she could always be counted on. And over and over and over again, she showed me such a beautiful picture of my Lord. And so again, thank you. Thank you, Mom. Will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here today. Lord, we would ask that you would bless all the mothers that are here. Father, help them to know that their calling is indeed a glorious and grand, and that you have chosen them and you want to continue to work in and through them for your honor and your glory. Father, help us to understand how critical it is that we're thinking about legacy and that we're not allowing the society and the culture to mold and shape our children, but we're coming together as families, moms and dads and extended family, to protect our children's minds and hearts. More than ever, Lord, we lift them up before you, these little ones, asking that your spirit would be upon them and over them and go before and behind them. Father, we ask that at the end of the day when our moms are weary, in the middle of the day when they're struggling a bit, Lord, that your presence would be felt by them, that they would be encouraged by your love. Lord, that they would never give up and they would keep pressing on. We give you all glory today. We are so thankful that you are our God and that you love us immeasurably and that you forgive us over and over again. Lord, it just causes us to want to follow you ever, ever closer and walk in deeper holiness. We thank you and we praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.